April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey, hello. Is the Go Birds Podcast presented by Parks Sportsbook and Casino, and we are coming to you late at night. It is practically midnight, about to be midnight, a few minutes from midnight, after a sometimes infuriating, mostly thrilling, agonizing at times, Eagles victory on Thursday Night Football over the Giants. It's never easy with the Giants, Elliot. Quickly before I just want to say this from the jump, like, I was so impressed with what Carson Wentz did tonight, and we're going to get into the whole discussion, and I know the interception was bad, it was horrendous, and I know that there are times where he's infuriating when he won't throw the ball away, but man, he made some unbelievable throws in the biggest of moments and did it with basically the equivalent of me and you out there tonight. We'll dive into it. Elliot, what's up, brother? How are you?
Oh my God.
What a game. What a game.
I mean, seriously, that was like, it's almost midnight. I'm tired, but that's got to be one of the crazier Eagles games I've ever covered. I mean, I don't know when the comeback started, but I swear it feels like it was completed within 7 minutes of real time. Like, I was looking down there.
Certainly that first touchdown was like a minute. It felt like it was like, Oh, they scored. Okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Like, there was no feeling of a crescendo of a comeback. It was just like all of a sudden, like, oh, they won.
So true, Elliot. Like in the time it took me to tweet, it's time to start rooting for the Eagles to get a draft pick high enough to get Ja'Marr Chase, the Eagles had already scored a touchdown, and I was like, oh, wow, okay, let's go. Did the tweet do it? What just happened there? It was wild, man.
I mean, normally, so I post a post-game article on the WIP website, like, as soon as the game ends. So for games like this, sometimes it can be difficult. But the crazy part is, at no point up until they were winning was I like, wow, I should probably rewrite what I have. Because it just didn't feel like it was really going to happen. I mean, that was... So, all right, obviously lots of thoughts on this. Let me just start off by saying this. I know to the listeners of the Go Birds audience, to the followers of me on Twitter, I know that sometimes I can be annoying. I know that sometimes you see some of my tweets and it frustrates you. But I am nothing but consistent. And if I am going to be a quarterback's wins guy, if I'm going to say that is the most important quarterback stat, then I have got to start this pod off by saying, that was an amazing win by Carson Wentz.
Yes!
If Dak Prescott wins that game, if Nick Foles wins that game, if almost any other quarterback that we like to compare to Carson Wentz wins that game, then I am on Twitter. Giglio is on Twitter. People are on Twitter saying, look at that, right? Like, that was a win, flat out. Like, Carson was not good the majority of that game. He wasn't. But in a blink of an eye, he won the game. I mean, I'd have to look at his fourth quarter stats, but that throw, and I'm definitely ready to say this, that throw to Boston Scott was the best throw of Carson Wentz's career. It was better.
Oh, wow.
It was better than the Miles Sanders throw against Washington last year. I mean, when you consider the window on that throw, Boston Scott's already small. The window on that throw was tiny. Like, one of maybe the smallest windows I've seen on a throw with my own two eyes. When you consider the throw, the spot of where it came, who he's throwing it to, like, that was an unreal throw. And we talk a lot about Carson's accuracy on this pod, and with good reason. Like, he had accuracy issues tonight. He finished 25 of 43. His quarterback rating still only 91, and it was, like, in the 50s the majority of the game. But that throw could not have been thrown any better, flat out. And Carson deserves a lot of credit for pulling that win off. He just does. Like, that's a win. That goes on his record as a win. If I'm going to sit here after games where they lose and say Carson deserves plenty of the blame and be correct about that, then I've got to start this off by giving Carson the credit he deserves for that game.
Yeah. And look, you know, I'm with you. I very rarely open with a mini soliloquy before saying hi to you. And I just, because even when I tweeted out that I thought Wentz was outstanding, I'm getting a bunch of people in the mentions, and I very rarely check my mentions, but as you know, but I was intrigued by, like, I wanted to see what people thought of what Wentz did tonight. And to me, and look, again, I know nitty gritty, the interception was bad. Like, I think he was trying to throw the ball away and he didn't. Like, he threw it too short. He threw it into traffic, and that was a horrible, horrible interception. He had certain plays tonight where, you know, it was so clear. It was like, throw the ball away, dude. Throw the ball away. What are you doing? Like, three or four, like, where you're like, man, like, that's such a clear, like, a second earlier, 2 seconds earlier, like, you should throw the ball away. But we have to remind ourselves, first and foremost, again, that he is literally playing with third and fourth stringers out there at a lot of positions. And that offensive line was a disaster in pass protection for the vast majority of the game. Like, he was running for his life. He was getting popped. Playing again 4 days after a game where he got destroyed physically as well, but that's, you know, a separate discussion. But, you know, to do what he did with and look, Travis Fulgham, we'll get to him, but I don't think it's fair to count Travis Fulgham as the crappy receiver group anymore. I think that guy is
straight legit. So let me interrupt you.
Let me just finish with the idea that from a reps perspective, from a, like, they Suo Peta on the line, like, a line that haven't played together at all, and it showed. Lane Johnson going on and off the field, like, struggling a fair amount throughout that game. And then no Miles Sanders, no Zach Ertz. I mean, he's throwing to Rich Rodgers. I mean, Rich Rodgers was a big part of the game plan. I mean, John Hightower made a catch. I mean, again, JJ had a catch, just one. But, like, just to the point that, like, yeah, I think Travis Fulgham's legit, and that's fair. But really doing it with a real lack of guys out there who've played football together, and a real lack of, for the most part, like, high-end NFL talent. Certainly high-end NFL talent, and even, like, good NFL talent.
So I agree with you that he's playing out there with guys that are not proven, that are not, like, even honestly, the weapons that the Giants had, right? And
definitively,
I'm not,
yeah.
And this is a victory pod, so we're, you know, this is overreaction. This is what it is. But I think we should also give these guys some credit. And this was kind of like last year when people were saying he's doing it with practice squad guys, and he was. But I thought that was kind of a little discrediting what they were accomplishing. Like, Greg Ward is a legitimate NFL receiver. Greg Ward is a starting NFL receiver.
Yeah, that was unfair of me for not to include Greg. Greg Ward's a good player. Greg Ward makes plays.
Travis Fulgham is a good player. Like, Richard Roger, you know, mostly sucks, but he's been in the NFL a long time. And I'm not doing this to discredit Wentz at all. I'm just saying that, like, I don't need DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey out there with him, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and say.
Clearly. Yeah. Look, DeSean gets hurt, and they run down the field, and that, you know, not to. And again, I don't want to see DeSean get hurt. That sucked. It looked like a rough injury, and, you know, I was a horrible play. But, like, you know, as soon as DeSean's out yet again, Carson gets rolling.
It looked,
like,
it's really bad, too.
Yeah, like, it did. They had
on the sideline. Yeah. I mean, he could barely walk up.
Is like it's with the, and that sucked. Like the way it happened, luckily it sucked, and that it could have been two penalties on the play. It felt like it was a spearing and a late hit after that. But regardless, yeah, it sucks that he got hurt. But you know, for some reason, when he goes off the field again, the offense gets moving a little bit. It's just for some reason, Carson Wentz with these younger guys is, as we talked about, just better. But again, I think the offensive line can't be underrated. I agree Fulgham's a good player. I agree Greg Ward's a good player. But it's also the amount of time you've had to play with these people. And also, again, that offensive line was a disaster in pass protection.
Yeah.
It really was. It was a rough night across the board.
Well, yeah. So let me ask you about that. So I always feel like I have a different opinion of the offensive line than other people do watching it live. And I'm perfectly able to sit here and say I'm just wrong. So I sit next to Jimmy Kemsky in the press box, and I asked him what he thought, and he said the offensive line wasn't good. You're saying that you didn't think the offensive line wasn't good. I mean, I thought Suo Pettis struggled early on, then he improved somewhat. I thought that the offensive line was not great, but I don't know. When I was watching the game, I didn't think the offensive line is why this offense is struggling. Did you have that feeling? Yeah, it was a big part of it.
Like Carson was underdressed the vast majority of the evening, and they had some nice runs at times, but certainly weren't able to run the ball with consistency throughout the game. Though, I mean, clearly, even outside of the catch, and it was a perfect throw, and I don't know if it's the best of Wentz's career, but it's certainly in the discussion, no question. And considering the moment after they get that penalty, they're on the 2-yard line or whatever it was to get that penalty, right, or the 3-yard line to go back to the, and to hit that throw at that time was just, I mean, it was as clutch as a throw can be, obviously outside of a bigger stakes game like the Super Bowl or whatever, you know what I mean? But the catch from Boston Scott was amazing too. I mean, let's not forget, like, that was a brilliant catch by him as well, over the top of his head like that, and to get his body down the way he did, the body control, super impressive. Easily the best Boston Scott we've seen this season, like by far. And he looked quick tonight again.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't great in the running game, I thought, for the most part, but maybe there was no holes there. By the way, I'm in the press box and they're showing a replay of that Daniel Jones long run where he just falls.
I was going to get to it. I have a whole list of stuff to get to.
Yeah, I know you do. Sorry. No.
Of course. It's just funny because that was, of course, like, that is definitely the most memeable play of the game, I think.
Yeah. But the other thing about the Carson Wentz throw, and I've seen it twice, so I'm pretty sure this is what happened, but I am tired. I mean, it seemed to me like he just stepped up in the pocket and threw that. And that makes it.
Oh, it was a total pocket throw.
That makes it that much more impressive because we're not talking about him, scrambling out and then you say, roll him out. Like, he made that throw from the pocket. And that's what's interesting about Carson is if you watch the highlights from that game, you come away from it saying, like, wow, Carson played really well. I did not think he played well the majority of the game. Now, as I started the pod off with, he still deserves credit. He won the game. Like, I think I'm probably going to make him my Toyota player of the game for the second straight.
I think you have to.
Well, I mean, Boston Scott, I can make an argument.
No,
but yeah,
I'm like that. Yeah, I think it's Carson.
But what I was going to say, though, is the thing about Carson is he will make some maddening throws. And you brought up the interception. I actually thought the worst throw he made all game was the one where he kind of like scrambled around in the backfield. I think he probably turned around twice and then throws it across his body on the run to a receiver that I think had two defenders around him. So, like,
that was a horrendous one too. Yes.
There were bad throws from Carson, but then you see him make a throw like that and you're like, if this guy could just do it more often, he would be the quarterback everybody thinks he can be. And so, I mean, yeah, just an unreal throw. And honestly, sitting here, I still can't believe they won that game.
Like, I know.
In a blink of an eye, they won. They went from like,
season literally over, like draft pick to, we're winning the NFC East again. And it's ridiculous. One other thing, though, about Carson that I think, like, has to be mentioned, like, because it is a quality of a quarterback that matters. Like you said, look, there are reasons to criticize him. He's not a perfect quarterback. We know that. But the dude is a gamer, man. Like, that dude goes to war. Like, he goes out there and he battles, man. And he fought back and obviously won the game, but like, he goes out and he throws his body out there and he takes hits and he really sticks in the pocket and he'll take a big hit, like, and just fights till the end. Like, I think that has to be said about him. Like, that is something that matters in a quarterback, is someone who's going to go out there and fight till the last drop with his brothers out there. And I do think that that's a trait that Carson has in spades, like, especially again, mm-hmm. considering the group that he had out there and considering the punishment that he took, especially again, like, you can't underrate the punishment he took on Sunday to come back on Thursday night and get hit like he did again tonight. Like, that's tough, man. Like, that takes a toll, and he battled.
What's interesting is, you know, I think the narrative and probably the most talked about thing about Carson through his first 5 or 4.5 years, wherever we're at, would probably be the injuries, right? I mean, when like the national audience talks about Carson, totally. I think the first thing they think about is the injuries.
But that in the 2017 season, like, right. That in like that MVP 13
correct.
Games.
Correct. Yes. But where I was going with it was, but when you watch Carson every snap, I mean, he is not really injury prone in some ways. Like, I get the label of why he is and those injuries are there, but man, he is very tough. Like, he does get hit a lot.
He's super tough. Yeah.
There were 3 or 4 plays today where he got hit, and you know, you they were the type of hits where you watch on the ground to see if he's going to get up, you know? And like, he'll pause sometimes, but like, the dude does take a lot of hits. He definitely deserves credit for that 100%. So, although, you know, the injuries are real and they have happened, like, it's amazing for a guy that the main thing is injuries, how tough he is.
Yeah, and how much of a beating he takes. Like, it is wild. You're right. All right, let's get on to some other stuff. I want to get your opinion on this because personally, and if they lost, I was going to put the most of the – I mean, like, look, anytime they lose, ultimately for me this season, I put the blame on Howie Roseman. Injuries to a point as well. I'll be fair, like, they've been crushed. But it ultimately all comes back to the roster for me in a macro sense. But this particular game, I thought Doug was awful. I really was, and I very rarely come out of a game thinking Doug was a detriment, at least in the sense that, look, I came into this game, and I said this to you, that I thought the biggest advantage the Eagles had in this game was Doug Peterson over Joe Judge, and that didn't materialize for me at all. I mean, Doug Peterson's short yardage game calling outside of the Greg Ward touchdown was disastrous tonight. Like, multiple times, obviously, that the fade route to Kimba, a fade route to a guy who is not a target all season. First of all, fade route in fourth down. First of all, backing up, I would have kicked the field goal there. I would have taken the points. But regardless, that's a separate discussion. I would have taken the points. Make it 8, and then you're not, you know. And look, they came back and they won in spite of it. But in that situation, I would have taken the field goal. But ultimately, if you're going to go for it, to call a fade route to a guy who hasn't had a target all season long, like, it's a lazy, bad play call in that spot. And obviously, the 2 3rd and 1s, the Wentz sneak on the 2-point conversion was just a poor play call. And then at the end, the Hurts, and it didn't end up mattering because they stopped them. But I didn't like bringing Hurts in that spot, in the sense that Wentz just walked down the field twice, made his biggest throw of the game. You said the best throw of his career, and you take him off the field to run a Hurts play. Like, it just didn't make a ton of sense to me. The whole short, particularly the short yardage game play calling, and then of course the penalty, you know, not throwing the challenge flag in time. Like, there were just a lot of instances tonight where it didn't feel like it was a top-notch Doug performance to me.
So I think it started off as a good Doug performance. I really liked that they came out in tempo. I thought that the first series, you get DeSean Jackson involved early, which, whatever. I mean, if you're going to play him, the only way to make an effect is to get him involved early. So
he'll pout otherwise. You need to have him, like, you know, not pout, but he's a guy who checks out of a game. You need to have him involved.
I think pout's a fair word. I mean, as someone that sees him on the sideline, I don't know. I think he looks disinterested if he doesn't get involved.
But the point
early.
Is, so, like, he will check out. Exactly.
Yeah. So I actually thought Doug got off to a really good start to the game. And I think it's hard sometimes to separate, like, Doug's play calling from the execution on the field, just because we don't know what the play call is. We don't know what Doug was thinking in that moment. But to me, the Hakeem Butler throw was just, like, Carson went right to him. Like, that was...
Oh, it was clearly the play call. No question.
Right, unless Carson saw something where he was, you know, like, maybe it was called something else, but he saw something at the line, and I'm sure Carson will talk about that. But that was just an inexcusable play call, honestly. Hakeem Butler, first of all, and this is going to sound crazy, but if you're going to call that play, like, throw it to Jason Kroom, right? At least he has caught a touchdown before. I mean, at least he
has. Throw it to Travis Fulgham. Travis Fulgham's 6'2". He's not a small guy. you know?
No, I agree. That I mean, obviously there were way better options. My point is, if you're going to throw it to a tight end, like, why Hakeem Butler? He's barely played. He wasn't even active. Like,
Richard Rodgers would be a better option.
Richard Rodgers would be
made,
a better
made catches. And again, yeah, so the fade route in and of itself is just a lazy play call there. It just is.
Yeah. And no, I,
that
I,
was that at that moment, that was the most important play of the game at that moment. And it just felt like that's the best play call you got in your bag, Doug. Like, that's your go-to play call for the biggest spot of the game. Like, it bothered me. Like, I really thought it was a horrendous spot for Doug. And again, look, they won. But again, I thought it was a theme all night, certainly with the short yardage stuff. I mean, again, like, point to a lot. I mean, it's very rare that I could say, like, 2 third-and-1s, 2 two-point conversions, a big fourth down at the goal line. Like, I mean, that's like, and I mentioned what, like, there's like 5 or 6 definitive short yardage calls where you can be like, what the hell is he doing? Like, that's a bad call.
I think that's a difference between this Doug performance and what we're normally critical of Doug on. Normally when we're critical of Doug, it's because the offense looks unimaginative, or he doesn't roll Carson out enough or something like that. It's more like large picture stuff. I don't think we often leave games critical of, like, very specific plays and decisions. I mean, you can point to the punt against Cincinnati, and even going back to 2016, like, I don't know why I'm thinking of this play, but that random screen play he called to Darren Sproles on, like, fourth down, I think it was. So I don't know why that popped in my head. But there have certainly been moments. But I can't remember leaving a game like this one where you can point to 4 or 5 really bad decisions on specific play calls. Like, you mentioned the third – was it 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1 where he just runs Boston Scott right up the middle?
3rd-and-1, yeah. They had 2 third-and-1s. One was that, and the other was a Wentz sneak. And the Wentz sneak was on – it was like 3rd-and-1.5. Like, it really was.
Right.
You could see it very clearly. It was like, what are you doing there, man? Like, I get it. Wentz is great at that stuff, but, like, it's got to be like 3rd-and-1
short
yard.
Recently,
and even
it feels
then,
like recently has not been as effective.
And it's got to be like a short yard. Like, it's got to be like – and you're right. It hasn't been as effective, but I feel like you're pushing it when you're going for like a full 1.5. Like – that's a lot to ask. Like, what you need from Carson is him to be able to push his body forward enough, and he's tall, and he can get a yard. Like, you know, I just – and also, again, like, it just feels like lazy play calling there. Like, where is the creative stuff? Where's the dude who called the Philly special? Like, where's that guy? I'm not asking for trick calls. I'm just saying, like, that type of chutzpah with the play calling in those situations. And look, again, we saw it last week on the Ravens play at the end of the game. I mean, the most important play of that game, that 2-point conversion. Like, we all agree, like, it was a blown play for sure, but certainly not a great play call. Certainly not something that looked like it would have worked even if it were executed well, you know? So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well,
I think it's a theme that's developing a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think that it's – look, the Philly special will always be the example of, like, ballsy Doug, but it's just so much easier to make those calls when your team can execute things. So
Of course, I know.
I can't blame him as much for that. But, yeah, look, I didn't think it was a great Doug game overall. And, you know, I can't – now that we've kind of been positive about it, and, look, it's – I almost tweeted this, and it's crazy that I went from, you know, halfway through the fourth quarter – tweeting, do you even want them to win the game, to thinking this. But the reality is, this win counts just as much as a 40-point win,
totally.
Right? I mean, they could have won this game 50-10, and it would count just the same. And as we've seen with this Eagles team, and, you know, a lot of teams in the playoffs, it doesn't matter how you play weeks 1 through, like, 14. What matters is how you're playing going into the playoffs and how you play that game. So it was ugly. It was bad, but I don't know. It doesn't change my opinion on thinking the Eagles are still better off making the playoffs, because we just saw that, you know, things happen. And imagine if this was a playoff game, right? I probably they would have no chance of winning it against a quality team. But, you know, imagine a world where Carson throws a game-winning touchdown pass, right? Like, that is huge for his development. It matters so much more than anything else. And so I just think anytime there's a positive for Carson to build off of, it's a good win. And, you know, they were really bad for the majority of this game, but Carson's going to, you know, leave the stadium tonight feeling good for the most part, I would think, about how that ended. And that really still matters in the development of him and this team.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you, and I have been with you. Look, I understand the argument of it's better for the future of the franchise to get a higher draft pick, to get closer to getting rid of Howie Roseman or whatever, which is I am. Again, every time we talk, I'm more on the done with Howie bandwagon. But I understand that thinking. Again, as we've talked about, I just was there with the Phillies and Matt Klentak. I wanted them to lose and not make the playoffs. But I'm definitely with you on this. Like, I still think getting Wentz to the playoffs, getting a chance for him to win a playoff game, getting a chance for him to get meaningful playoff reps and get that confidence and understand what he can do in a playoff game is the most worthwhile thing. But it's clearly going to be ugly. To be fair, Giants-Eagles games seem to just always be ugly. You know, it's like you said going in, and that's why you were right and I was wrong. I felt confident they would win by a touchdown or more, that type range, 7-10 points. And you were just like, man, these games are always tight. Like, they're always tight. Like, and it was.
Well,
it was.
So really quick, Doug is at the podium, and he said that play call for Hakeem Butler was designed for him, and they called that. So that was not Carson's decision.
Terrific.
That was, so that's
terrific.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, that's flat.
I mean,
terrible.
That's horrible, man.
Large picture, or I guess more on a micro sense, looking at this specific game, I think that the Eagles can't fool themselves, and I don't think Jeffrey Lurie will, but they also can't fool themselves into thinking, like, they played poorly, and that's why it was close. Like, the Giants were the better team for the majority of that game. This was not
well,
the Eagles shooting
themselves. Well, hold up. I don't think that's fair. I mean, the Eagles should have been up 10. The Eagles should have been up 10 to 13 points in the first half. Like, they dominated the first half. If it weren't for the Wentz interception, if it weren't for the Jake Elliott missed field goal, I mean, that's at least 6 points there on the board and
okay,
potentially 10.
Okay, but those are things that happen. But those
no,
are things that happen.
I strongly disagree. I think the Eagles.
Carson's leading
the
league
Eagles,
in interceptions.
I think the Eagles dominated the first half. I think the Giants dominated the next whatever until 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and then the Eagles won. Like, so, like, they both dominated at times, but I definitely would argue, I think the Eagles dominated the first half, personally. I mean, agree or disagree, but I think personally
well,
they dominated the first half.
Let me state my case. So,
sure.
I think that, like, yes, Carson's interception mattered, but Carson also, as of now, I should say, is tied for the league lead in interceptions. And Carson is a guy that's thrown interceptions this year. Jake Elliott missed a field goal. Jake Elliott has now missed a field goal in 3 straight games. Like, there were penalties. The Eagles have struggled with penalties this year. So I don't think I can sit here and say they played a different game than what they normally do. This is not a team that comes out and dominates from the jump. This is not a team that really, I can't remember the last time they played an extremely impressive football game where, like, from beginning to end, you were like, that was a great game from the Eagles. So, you know, I don't honestly, in the watching the game in the first half, I don't even know if I can sit here and say the Eagles had a much more talented roster. Like, I know now there's injuries, but so I just don't think they can fool themselves into thinking, you know, oh, we're close. If this.
I agree with that. If that's your ultimate point, I totally agree with that. I do think, though, for the first half, like, I agree, interceptions and things that happen and all that, but, like, they still moved the ball well against the Giants in the first half. They held them defensively for the most part, other than the Golden Tate play, well in the first half. Like, I think they did a good job in the first half comparatively and could have been winning by more, but you're absolutely right. Look, the fact that they weren't winning by more is absolutely the fault of their own. But I don't think it's fair to say the Giants dominated the game or were the better team for the majority of the game.
They were outplaying the Eagles from the start of the second half
until 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They were, I don't think they were in the first half. Like, I really don't, like, not the first half I watched. I thought the Eagles completely outplayed the Giants in the first half. They just made a couple mistakes that cost them a bigger lead. Like, that's how I saw the first half.
Yeah, I mean, look, maybe that's fair. I just know that my feeling watching it was this is not the Eagles losing to a far inferior team. This was the Eagles.
I'm not saying they were like dominant, but they were the better team for the first half. I thought, like, they were the better.
I guess. I mean, I remember thinking to myself at one point, like, is the Eagles' future even considerably brighter than the Giants? Now, you know, things change throughout the game. Nobody hold me to that. But I'm just saying my feeling watching that was not.
That's interesting.
We had different feelings.
Yeah.
Different feelings.
Well, that's what makes the world beautiful, man. How interesting would it be if everyone listened to the podcast and they were like, we were just like, yeah, I agree. You agree.
Yeah. Would not be interesting.
No.
My mentions would be very different. So,
yeah, well,
ultimately. But ultimately, they ended with the win. And I, you know, it's a perfect game for debate because there'll be a crowd that'll say, this doesn't matter, blah, 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 blah. And then there'll be a crowd that says, look, they won the game. And they did. And Carson played well at the end. What'd you think of the defense?
Well, that's literally, boom, great minds. Boom. That was going to be my next question.
We can agree on that.
Yeah, beautiful. So that was literally what I was going to ask you. And here, I'll go first then. I thought the defense played well enough to win, clearly. You know, you give up 21 yes. points against the Giants. Like, you should be able to win that football game. There were some lapses that were incredibly frustrating, you know, spots where it just felt like they kind of let up and the defense was giving up big chunk plays. And when Wayne Gallman was gashing them for a bit before they shut it down on that last drive where it looked like they were just going to run out the clock, and finally the defense came through. But I thought on the whole, the defense was solid, like not great, but solid. Mm-hmm. I really liked Schwartz's game plan. We saw a ton of blitzing from Jim Schwartz. Like that was good to see. I think this Giants offensive line was clearly a huge mismatch for the Eagles. Like that was the biggest mismatch coming into the game that we talked about in it. And that totally wore out. I thought, you know, for the most part, you know, Dan, that period we talked about where the Giants took the lead and played well, I think the main exception to the D-line kind of dominating. But other than that, the D-line really handled that Giants offensive line more often than not. And I think Schwartz bringing a lot of blitz. Nate Gary with a sack. How about that? I thought the Alex Singleton yep. literally running through Devontae Freeman was wild. So I thought, again, like not great, like not outstanding, could have just come in and completely shut a bad Giants team down and won the game that way without making it close. But they played well enough to win. I'm not gonna kill the defense for too much tonight again, considering yeah. they're undermanned.
Yeah, I think if I told you before the game they gave up 21 points, you would probably feel pretty good about the Eagles' chances of winning that game. By the way, I predicted on the pregame show on WIP 23-22.
Yeah.
Eagles.
And I think you did I think you did 24-23 on our pod, right?
Yeah. So I was
don't whatever this. Of a call by you, man. Seriously, that is that's a legitimately great call. Yeah. Yeah, you're up one. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for rubbing it in. All right.
No problem.
Thanks for believing in my birds got me screwed in our picks thing. You're only back two picks for the season now. This is devastating.
Don't ruin
a victory night, Elliot.
So the defense.
Yes.
I mean, look, 21 points ultimately, bottom line business, as we say. That's good enough to win. When you look at the stats, I mean, the Giants were 30% on third down. That's obviously a good showing from the defense. I thought there were definitely plays be made that the Giants just didn't make. I mean, a huge play in this game ends up being 3rd and 7, fourth quarter, 2:14 to play in the game. Evan Engram wide open down the field. He has at least like
two. Oh my God! Got lucky. Lucky.
Maybe not a perfect throw from Daniel Jones, but definitely good enough to be caught. I mean, it hit both of Evan Engram's hands.
Got
so
lucky.
If they catch that, you think at least they get a field goal there, and that potentially ends up being the difference in the game. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say the defense played great, but they did force 3 turnovers. They allowed 21 points, 30% on third down. Like those are the stats Jim Schwartz cares about. They 5.9 yards per play overall, when at one point they were averaging close to 8 something in the first half. So they did improve as the game went on. They allowed, 2 touchdowns in the second half, 1 in the fourth. So I thought the defense gets C+, B-.
Yeah, B-. That seems totally fair. C+, B- seems totally fair. Then, yeah. And, I think Jim Schwartz did a good job. I thought, you know, he's always so hesitant to do that much blitzing, and I thought it really worked out against his offensive line. All right, let me fire.
It's still so crazy to me that I'm sitting here watching a Carson Wentz victory press conference as he smiles. Like, it just blows my mind to think of how quickly this game changed. But sorry.
I know. That's like your theme. Like, it's unbelievable. You said this like 4 times. It really caught you off guard.
It's crazy to me. Yeah.
Well, it's so funny because the way I am as an Eagles fan, when they go into these games, a peek inside my soul, into these games against the Giants and Washington, particularly over the last few years, like the games where they're, even when they're beat up and whatever, they're better. Like you're playing a really bad football team. Like they have to basically lose for me to not believe they're going to win. Like it's so hard for me to give up on my belief that I'm going to beat these teams that I hate so bleeping much, like, and that I know that we should beat because we're better than them, even in situations where we're just marginally better than them because they're so bad, Elliot. So I'm not as shocked by it as you are, but it's only because of my general optimism as an Eagles fan, which, you know, I think we would definitely say out optimism you when it comes to the Eagles, I would say.
So this is making its way around the Twitter sphere. It does not look like this was on Parks Casino, which is unfortunate, but somebody put $100.
Yeah, his last $100 or something.
Put $100 down for a Sterling Shepard touchdown, Eagles money line, Carson Wentz first touchdown score, Carson Wentz over 247 yards, and Boston Scott touchdown. He goes from $100 to winning $46,000.
Well, he tweeted that it was his last $100 or something like that. Pretty wild.
That seems like a lie. Yeah. That seems like a lie.
I don't know.
That feels like.
I don't know.
But
it's pretty wild. Well, seems like a bad use of your last $100, however it played out. And I mean, a fool for not betting with Parks Casino Sportsbook anyway. But
probably would have won $46,000.
Yeah.
But,
well, I mean, Parks is way better anyway. The best. You definitely have to download the app and use Park Sportsbook Casino, and that is the way to go.
So, are the Eagles a bad team?
Yeah, I still think they're a bad team.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, they are.
I think so, too.
It's okay. They're not. I mean, they're certainly not a good team, right? I mean, gradations of bad, are they kind of bad? Are they really bad? I don't know. You know, I don't know why. I don't think they're really bad. I think they're like a kind of bad team. You know, they're like a team that's going to win six games, probably. Like, that's what they feel like.
Well, this was a big one. I mean, this was probably the easiest
five,
game
six games, schedule. Somewhere in that range would be my guess. Yeah, look, they had to get this one tonight. Let me fire a few things off of you to get your take on. We talked about Boston Scott for a minute. Quickly, though, do you think, like, you know, last year, obviously, there was circumstance, but even when Miles came back, Boston Scott was more involved, and it seemed like Doug utilized him better. Do you think this could maybe get Doug going a little bit with his how he uses Boston Scott moving forward?
Yeah, I think it could. I mean, look, you catch that touchdown at the end of the game, I think you deserve, you know, more playing time. And with Miles Sanders hurt, maybe, you know, he's going to be getting it anyway. My question back at you is, do you think Miles Sanders makes that catch? The way that Carson and him have kind of struggled getting the same
page. I don't know. That's a really great question. I think it's impossible to know. Like, I don't know, man. That was a really impressive catch. I don't know how many people in that moment make that catch. But I was just impressed in general with Boston Scott. We talked about Fulgham. Are you with me? Do you think Travis, like, is all right? I know you're with me. I don't even need to ask you. Travis Fulgham's legit, but like, how legit is this guy? Like, I thought, you know,
he's legit.
Yeah, he's legit, right? I mean, that one catch on the sideline with the extension and the getting the first and second foot down was like, you know, and I know he wasn't perfect. There was a ball or two he should have had that he didn't, but. He's impressive, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when he had the big game, the game-winning touchdown against the Steelers, 49ers, you would say, okay, it looks like they have something here. And then he has obviously that awesome game against the Steelers, and it's like so good that you say, okay, he's not that, but what is he? And then last week against the Ravens, he did what he did. I think he is like probably a top two starting receiver. And that is a big deal. Like, that's not slating him by saying he's not, you know, Julio Jones or like the number one dominating receiver. I think he could legitimately be a number two starting receiver on a very good team. Like, if the Eagles build right and they become a team that's, you know, consistently winning 11 games, 12 games, like, you can win with Travis Fulgham as your receiver. You don't need to go out there and, you know, make all big type of moves at receiver and have Travis Fulgham be like your fourth guy. I think if Carson Wentz is playing well, and that Travis Fulgham is definitely good enough. And as much as we rip Howie, you know, he deserves credit for this one. If we're going to rip Howie for the players that aren't good, he deserves credit for finding one off of the waiver wire, if I'm not mistaken, in training camp, keeping him, putting him up, right? Like, he deserves credit for that. So
he does. You're absolutely right.
I think Travis Fulgham,
he does.
Travis Fulgham could be your starting receiver opposite Jalen Reagor if Jalen Reagor turns into what
he could
you think
be
he's
what
gonna be.
He could be what they drafted JJ to be, right? I mean, that's like theoretically, right. It could be what JJ was supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, I almost forgot about JJ when talking about the future. So, yeah. I mean, look, Travis Fulgham.
Elliot, as you should. It's so sad. JJ Arcega-Whiteside makes one catch, and it's like a joke on Twitter, as it should be. As it should be. It's so sad.
Well, so there was one play, and I thought this was a very poor throw by Carson, but it ended up working out. I think it was like in the fourth quarter, or no, it must have been in the third quarter. Deep to Travis Fulgham. He's wide open. If he makes a bigger throw, Travis Fulgham is in the end zone. But what Fulgham does a great job of is he's very good at playing the ball in the air. Like, he's very good at reading where it's going to be. And he really does go up and get it. And that matters a lot. I mean, that's something Jalen Mills talked about. He saw from him in training camp that he goes up and gets the ball. And you see that, and it helps with a guy like Carson, who is frankly never going to be an extremely accurate quarterback. You need someone that's going to go up and get it. It's kind of what the Eagles were thinking with Alshon. And he's not quite as big as Alshon. He's definitely not like as thick as Alshon, but he does that same thing where he goes up and gets it. And I think he can be this starting receiver for a long time here.
Wow. How wild would that be? It would be, wouldn't it be nice with all the missed draft picks on wide receivers?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it just be nice if we finally got one, lucked into one? That would be pretty cool. And again, I'm not saying luck in the sense that Howie doesn't deserve credit for it.
Yeah, like, there's some luck.
It's pretty. That's my point. Like, locked into it. And that's be awesome. He looks legit. Like you said, he attacks the ball. Like, he catches it with his hands. Like, he goes for it. You know, as opposed to, and John Hightower, really nice catch tonight. It was awesome to see that. But, like, he.
Well,
like,
he definitely knows how to get open down the
field. Yeah, he does.
I mean, this is now 3 weeks
in
a row.
Yeah, you're right. If you're, like, flipping it around, he does. Yeah.
I mean, and part of that is busted coverage. I thought, you know, the first time he was open, really maybe both times last week was busted coverage, but the guy is open down the field. Like, for whatever it's happening, I mean, he is getting open down the field. He's been more open down the field than Deshaun has been since week one of last year.
Yeah.
Like, he gets open, and it's a skill. So, and you look, Deshaun's hurt. I thought that was from the press box, at least, it looked like it was a cheap hit on him late.
It was. Both were cheap.
Looked like the cheap hit was on his head, so maybe that isn't why he hurt himself. I didn't see a replay of it, but it's a shame that he's hurt. But if the result of that is John Hightower is going to play more, like, I'm good with that. I thought that, you know, putting Deshaun in early, and I get why Doug did it, but when I was watching them, like, try to run the offense through Deshaun, I'm like, what are they doing here? And again, credit to Doug for doing it, because you have to if he's going to play. But it's just so silly to think that they're like, let's get Deshaun involved. That's not how they need to be running the offense. They need to be running it for Carson. They need to be getting these young guys out there. Look, I mean, John Hightower drops that pass last week. He catches it this week. Like, that's growth. That's why in 2021 he'll be a better receiver for getting these snaps.
Yeah. You know, I'm 100% with you on that. All right. Two more things for me, and hold on, I had one here. I'm pulling through my notes here. I want to make sure. Oh, yes. Okay. Jalen Hurts. Not a ton.
Oh, yeah,
comparatively. Not a ton comparatively. The stuff that they didn't work tonight. We didn't see, you know, any of that explosive type of stuff. But again, they didn't really go to it a lot. And again, you know, I told you I didn't like the 2-point call there. I thought that was just a weird spot to go to it, considering what Wentz had just done. But regardless, what do you think of the Hurts packages, the lack of Hurts, all that?
Mm-hmm. So I don't think that this team is going to be carried to the playoffs by a 2-quarterback system, right? So I am okay with them not playing Jalen Hurts. Like, this team is going to have to live and die with Carson at quarterback, regular offense, and see how that goes. So I'm not going to kill them for not putting Hurts in a ton, but it is weird that a week after he was a clear spark to the offense, he played well, and that's like all the talk is that you come in, and I don't have his snap count in front of me, but he might have got to 7 snaps, but it wasn't certainly as an effective 7 snaps. I didn't understand the decision not to use him a lot. I'm okay with it, but it definitely didn't look as effective as it did last week, and I think that's what you're going to see. Like, when defenses have time to prepare for it, it's not that hard to stop. Like, I also think having Carson out there at receiver is so silly. Like, if you're going to put Jalen Hurts out there, at least don't play a man down. Like, Carson at receiver is not threatening anybody. It's not – the defense is not worried about him. I get that he blocks hard when he's out there. But if you're going to put Jalen Hurts in at quarterback, then put another receiver out there with him.
Or throw the ball to Wentz, like, and thus keep them honest.
Well, I went zero.
I don't need any of the hurt stuff. Like, you know how I feel. Same thing. And it just didn't work tonight. And like you pointed out, it's not going to work as much once defenses see it and start to react to it. I'm 100% with you. And, you know, I think it's silly. This is not a two-quarterback system. Like, this is a Carson Wentz offense. And, you know, they drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round, and they got a lot of injuries, and that's the situation we find ourselves in. But it certainly didn't work tonight when they did use it. I lied. I have two more things now for you. So that's what I get for fumbling through my notes there. All right.
I got time.
Okay, good. Two more. Well, you also still have to drive home from the stadium and do all this stuff. So I don't, you know.
But right. I'm glad to talk about this.
I'm having a blast. Thank God they won. All right, two more. Yeah. Jake Elliott is a problem. I saw your tweet. Explain why Jake Elliott's probably not going anywhere right now. But with that in mind, after you explain that, tell me what the hell you would do, because he's clearly in a real funk right now.
Well, what's crazy is Jake Elliott was given a 5-year, $21 million contract with $10.45 million guaranteed, which at the time, you probably don't think it's a huge deal. Yeah, but in retrospect, and that's fucking wild to give a kicker that long of a deal.
It's insane. Like, how did we miss this? How did we not talk about it when it happened?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that?
Especially with how quickly things turned around. So,
he's a kicker.
If you look at
that's what happened. Yeah. This fucking kicker. Oh my God.
Yeah. A little bit of a cursing streak for us there. Maybe, you know what I mean? It's getting late.
We had to. And it's almost better.
So, if they cut Jake Elliott, it's $8.1 million in dead money. And it cost them $5 million in cap space. In fact, even next year, even 2021, if they cut Jake Elliott, it cost them $5 million. Or I should take that back. Sorry. It cost them – next year it cost them $3 million. This year will cost them $5 million. I was looking at pre-June cut. But still, lots of money. So
For a kicker.
So Jake Elliott's not going anywhere. They're not going to carry two kickers on the roster. So he's obviously a concern. I mean, it's 3 straight weeks. By the end of the game, the Giants are driving for a field goal and not for a touchdown because he missed that kick. A 29-yarder, no excuse not to make it. Two plays tonight I could have made. The 29-year-old field goal and the Daniel Jones touchdown run. I would have scored a touchdown on that. So,
well, you would have.
Hold up.
You would have only scored a touchdown if you were spotted the lead that Daniel Jones had and the spot where he fell on the yard line. There's no way you're running away from NFL players for the first 80 yards of the run.
We'll never know.
But you're the best.
But with Jake Elliott, I mean, they're just going to have to stick with him. That's all there is to it. They're not going to sign another kicker. I mean, maybe if it gets really bad, all of a sudden he's injured and they IR him. But I think you're just going to have to ride it out with him. And to his credit, he's made a lot of big kicks for him. He's never really had accuracy issues, although I think from 50 plus he's been pretty inaccurate recently. But I mean, he has been a pretty clutch kicker, I think, outside of the miss against Steelers. So I'm contradicting myself as I say these things, but you have to stick with him flat out. You have no choice.
Oh, buddy. All right. Last thing, and one more quick shout out to Richard Rodgers. Hell of a night. Your leading Eagles receiver. He was very good. I was impressed with Rich Rod. He was wide open a couple times. All right, last thing I got for you. From the pregame show, Jay Glazer, and this was going around Twitter and all that, but Jay Glazer talked about how he has been told that the Eagles are calling around. And this is prior to a game that I'm sure they expected. They had a good chance to win, so I'm sure that they – put that in their calculus, but the Eagles calling around a team saying they're willing to sell, willing to get rid of some of their veteran players. Obviously, you know, we know the list of guys we've talked about, whether it's Deshaun or Ertz or Alshon, and obviously all three of those, the injuries, a big issue, particularly Deshaun and Ertz now are injured at the moment. But, you know, who knows who else? I'm Malik Jackson or this, that. Like, there's guys. What did you think about that report, and what do you think about the concept of 2-4-1, kind of first place ish in the division or whatever it is?
Well, I'm okay with trading Deshaun. I'm okay with trading Alshon. The Ertz thing, I mean, they can't trade him now because he's on IR. And Albert Beer of Sports Illustrated had an interesting note that I guess this year with IR, there's a minor and a major designation. And if you're designated minor, you're not allowed to trade him. But if you're designated major, you are. and the Eagles designated him minor. Okay. So they made the decision themselves to basically take him off the trade market. So I wouldn't have traded Ertz barring an incredible offer. So I'm okay with that. It's late, so I'll throw this kind of hypothetical by you. Like, would you trade Brandon Brooks? I mean, he kind of makes sense. Herbig's played.
Yeah, it's really
he's
interesting.
He's a guy. I mean, I don't know how the contract would work out, but I'm okay with.
I would do it. I mean, look, this team, the way it's built right now, probably shouldn't be spending $50 million on a guard or, you know, whatever he comes out to, $20 million a year, $18 million a year. Like, that money can be better spent at other spots, I think. So, yeah, I would trade Brandon Brooks as much as I love the guy.
Yeah. So,
We get off Brandon Brooks, where the hell's Isaac Samalo? Is he ever coming back? Like, what's the deal? Do you know anything like that?
I think his injury is more serious. Clearly. I think he's like a post-buy. Yeah, post-buy type of guy.
Okay, anyway.
Opeta did not play well, but, you know, you can't expect these guys to step in and play well off the jump. Like, they're going to improve the more they play, in theory at least. So I'm not going to sit here and say Opeta sucks, he's never going to be good. I mean, he had some bad snaps, but, you know, you have to give these guys time to develop and play. You would put Samalu back out there when he's healthy, but I'm not ready to, like, completely write off Sue Opeta because he had a bad game tonight.
Yeah, I'm totally with that. All right, that's all I got. You got anything else?
No, I mean, just make it to the playoffs healthy and see what happens.
Healthy, relatively right? Healthy is a relative term these days.
Yeah. Yeah. So, God, I'm happy for the Go Birds listeners that this was a victory pod.
They won.
This was, and now we 11 days before Dallas week, an extended week.
Yeah, that's a great point, Elliot. It's definitely, this week will be a lot more fun with Dallas week after winning that game because this game is incredibly important. It's a big freaking game. And, look, NFL games are special. They're rare. We only get guaranteed 16 of them a year, and we, you know, at best get 20 for our team, right? 19 for our team, whatever. I guess 20 if you play in the wild card round. I'm right. 19 the first time. Anyway, the point is they're not something to be taken lightly. Like, it's
yeah. I mean,
every time you get a win, every time you get a win, that's cool. Is my point.
On my way to the stadium, I did a radio hit in Memphis, of all places. And they said, you know, you're going into this game tonight. Tell me why I should be excited. And I was like, cause it's a primetime Eagles-Giants game. Yeah. You know, like, it's exciting that, you know, that's the matchup in a primetime game. I don't care about the quality of football, to be honest. It's the drama of it. And the last thing I'll say before we wrap this up is they won at the end. So, like, that matters more, in my opinion, than what you saw before that. It just does. And you could still look at what happened before and be concerned about this team, and I think that's fair. But they did win the game. And they did. And I think that's frankly the more important part.
Yeah. Look, the Eagles still have a great chance to win the NFC East, as crazy, as wild, and as bad as they are. And you know what? That's awesome. Hey, if nothing else, we can end the stupid talk about the same team hasn't won the division in back-to-back years since 2004.
It's true.
How about that, Elliot?
It's true.
How's that for a win if we could win the division this year? So that would be done. Over. Enough.
Yeah. That's all that matters comes out of this year. We don't have to hear
that's
about
what
that.
I'm, that's my new it's my new platform. That's why I want to make the playoffs.
Boom.
All right. This has been a blast. Again, rate and review the podcast. When we get to 2,000 five-star reviews, we're going to take the SATs, post the scores. We'll read some of the reviews on the next pod. Of course, later this week, tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Friday, I guess it technically is Friday now, Elliot.
It is Friday,
12:40 in the morning on Friday. Tomorrow, Saturday, 1 to 3 on WIP. Check us out. We'll obviously be talking about the game more. And then, of course, next week, the usual slate of pods and all that. So for Elliot, I'm James, and Eagles Victory Pod. We'll talk to you guys later.